This is not a victory celebration. On the contrary, I believe that the fight is just beginning to start. The fight against all those who want to make your university a training school for the perpetuation of a society the security of which and the prosperity of which is based on the oppression and enslavement of other peoples within the national frontiers and without. The fight against these powers must go on because it is a fight for you. They want to block your mind. They want to protect you against controversial ideas which, according to their judgment, endanger and destroy American society. Right on. In all modesty, I suggest there's a slight confusion here and a slight Orwellian language, because what these controversial ideas may indeed endanger or destroy is the rule of the powers that be over this society, but not the society itself. Now, a court has decided in favor of Angela and against the regents. I submit that the regents have long since recognized the mistake they made. There are other and more effective ways of repressing the university, namely via the budget, a very favorite means, and via a pre-censorship and control of appointments, promotions, and so on, before they are made, so that they don't have to go to the courts afterwards. And I bet you that is precisely what is going to happen. The fight for Angela is, in the last analysis, a fight for you. It is a fight against the new McCarthyism, against the new wave of repression that spreads from this country over the entire world. And it is in this large context that the case of Angela has to be seen. It is a fight for you, for us, I would like to say, who can no longer tolerate, who get sick in the stomach to see the richest society in the world live on an economy of death, live on an economy of waste, planned obsolescence, and pollution, which cannot tolerate it any longer. And this intolerance, this blessed intolerance, I hope cuts across the so-called generation gap, because although I am a little older than you are, for me it is just as intolerant as it is for you. In this too, we are in the same boat. The question which I want to raise very briefly today is, can this society, without radical change, abolish the conditions on which its very security and on which its very prosperity rest? And I suggest a negative answer. A negative answer because, and as a Marxist, I must confess it here, I have great faith, bad faith, in the capitalist system. I know that this system is a very businesslike, a very rational system, and that it does not like waste and destruction, unless this waste and destruction is considered necessary for the reproduction of the capitalist system. It seems to me that the best Marxists we have in this country today are those who rule our society. It is as if they want to demonstrate by their acts, and not only by their speeches, that Marx was right. Right not only in his notion of the merger between economic and political power, right also in his notion that capital must expand, must continually expand in order to be able to exist and to exist profitably. Such a society, precisely a capitalist society, does not spend $1 trillion, $1 trillion since 1946 on what is called national security, while at the same time it sees that this security is diminishing rather than increasing. This amount includes more than $25 billion spent on arms and weapons that were never deployed. More than half of its scientists work directly or indirectly for the Pentagon, and the waste and obsolescence in other branches of the economy I don't have to illustrate. Now, they wouldn't do such things unless they are considered necessary, and indeed, they consider it necessary that their future living space is being secured, that it is not supposed to fall into communist hands. Therefore, the enemy must continue to be built up everywhere, in China, in Vietnam, in Cuba, in Latin America. It must continue to build up so that the people continue to have faith in this insanity. Now, I suggest that this faith is already being shaken, and that it is being shaken is to a great extent your work, the result of your efforts. You may not know it. You may still think you are nothing but a bunch of intellectuals separated from the masses. The government knows far better than you know, and they have a far more realistic evaluation of the power you already represent. The full weight of repression is falling upon the schools and universities and on the black militants in the ghettos with whom you have joined the fight. The full force of repression is not falling on organized labor. It is falling on you, and they know why, and they know why they have to do it. In other words, if there's anyone capable of breaking the insanity which is daily reproduced, it is you, and it is only you, black, white, and brown, who can break this insanity. Well, again, the first cue comes from the President of the United States. He says it is all right to dissent as long as the dissent does not become too public, preferably kept within the four walls of the House or in the ballot box. In other words, he doesn't like demonstrations on the streets. And the cue is continue your demonstrations. Because he knows, perhaps better than you know, that they do good, that they do get larger, that they do develop the consciousness of those who have not yet seen, who have not yet heard what is going on around them. Continue and try to enlarge the demonstrations. And as far as the university is concerned, continue to watch what is going on. Ask for the resignation of the regents who have violated the law of the land. Who are terribly insisting that you obey the law, but who seem to have far less respect for the law if the law happens to go against them. Or if you cannot get the resignation of the regents, and you know just as well as I do that you cannot, see, because if there ever was any arbitrary power, it is the power of the regents, then see to it that at least they return the authority over appointments and promotions to the faculty and to the students, and don't keep them for themselves. Now I admit all these suggestions are centered on the university and on the campus. There are larger tasks, especially the forming of the alliances with the large oppressed groups in this country, black and brown, a process of long-range education. But don't minimize the university as your base. Again, the function of schools and universities in the system has changed. It is precisely the change in the productive process of advanced capitalism which makes this process reliant continually and increasingly on highly qualified, intelligent personnel, its scientists, technicians, engineers, psychologists, and even sociologists, without whom the whole thing apparently can no longer function the way it is supposed to function. It is in the universities, in the schools, that the system trains its new cadres, whom they need for its reproduction. And this is you. Far from being a bunch of intellectuals, you form one of the most important contingents, important for the reproduction of the system. You have to show that you can resist, that you can refuse to be made mere servants of the system. Again, it is up to you. You are fighting for yourselves. You are fighting for all those who no longer want the life they get in this society, who finally want to be able to lead their own life and to enjoy their own life with good conscience and without a feeling of guilt. Thank you.